This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're going to do a program right now on auto repair issues. We're going to focus on things that the California Bureau of Auto Repair feels are important and that one of my other guests, who's not with the California Bureau of Auto Repair, also feels is are important to you. My guests are Donald Johnson, the supervisor of the San Jose Field Office of the California Bureau of Auto Repair. That's part of the Department of Consumer Affairs, California Department of Consumer Affairs. And let me tell you a little bit about Don, because he's got quite a background here. He's had 26 years of experience with, I'm going to call it now, BAR, Bureau of Auto Repair, having started in the San Francisco office and is currently the supervisor of the San Jose Field Office. He's worked in the Greater Bay Area from Sonoma County to Santa Barbara County, investigated consumer complaints, performed formal investigations against fraudulent auto repair shops. Actually, Don and I have worked together. Posed as a customer in undercover operations against suspect shops and provides repair shops and consumers information regarding the law and consumer rights related to auto repair in California. My other guest, Bobby Reddy, is a mechanic of 33 years' experience, essentially with Toyota dealerships in both San Francisco and Daly City. He has worked with actually members of my office, the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office, on different projects that we've done. And so he's here to respond to any questions that you might have should you be listening to this program live. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Additional funding is provided by the San Mateo County Bar Association, the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. And gentlemen, very nice to have you both back on the program.
Thank you for inviting me,
yeah,
Chuck.
Yeah, very, very good to have you here. Let's do this. Don, you wanted to start off with talking about smog check. We all love smog check.
I know everybody.
Do we not?
Everybody's heart races.
Everyone's clap for smog check.
One of the, there's going to be a big change in smog check probably around mid-2013. So next year, that the year model 2000 and newer vehicles will not be required to have a traditional smog check as we know it today. In other words, a tailpipe sample and a dynamometer test. The move is to go to strictly computer-based check. Modern cars from 2000 and newer, and some of the 90s, late 90s, have...
That is with the OBD2
diagnostic testing. Yes, they have an onboard diagnostic test link where the smog check station will actually plug in and do a computer download to ascertain if everything's functioning properly.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be it.
Uh-huh.
And if it fails, there will be an indication through computer trouble codes as to where the system failure is, and it would have to be diagnosed and repaired.
That will check the past, the history code, the pending code, even though your check light is not on.
Yes, it'll test the entire function of the emission system, and it'll also check all the sensors and that sort of thing on the vehicle. It identifies the vehicle simply through a plug-in of an electronic data.
And will that be that you have to have that done every other year still?
Same parameters,
same
every other year.
Will it be any cheaper, or will it be about the same price?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know. I imagine it at the beginning, as is any new thing, the prices mm-hmm. are high, but
yes,
it'll drop because the amount of labor and the requirements is going to be way less.
You know, one of the things, Don, that you and I and other persons in your office when you were covering the San Mateo County area was we would have smog check people who would put the pipe in some other vehicle that they knew would work.
Clean piping.
The clean piping. That's what we call it.
That's
the clean
right.
piping, which is fraud, actually.
That's right.
And can you anticipate that with this OBD2 situation, the connection, that there may be a potential for fraud there also?
There could be. Right mm-hmm. now, 2000 and – or I mean, I kind of, cars that are 6 years from – so that would be 2006 mm-hmm. or newer.
Yeah.
Aren't required to have a smog check.
Oh, really?
No, they're not required to have a smog check.
No kidding.
That's right. So it's a rolling –
really?
Time frame. So
what? When they get older, what happens? Still, they don't have to have a smog check?
No, when they get older, they'll fall into the program.
I got
it's a rolling 6 years.
I think they give you 5 years, full 5 years.
Yeah, full 5 years.
Okay.
So I imagine where we see problems are cars that are traditional hot rods or cars that are systematic failures or difficult to repair, and somebody will seek out an illegal smog, pay an enormous amount of money in order to get this car certified.
Because they're being gouged.
Yes.
They're being gouged.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a conspiracy to defraud.
That's right. And and what will happen is when a car gets clean piped, with all the data that's available, we have scientists that analyze that data, and we can usually pick those cars out.
Can you?
Yes.
Can you really? That's
and over time, if the fraudulent smog chop continues, they'll stand out like a sore thumb.
Are you still doing undercover cars?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's when the Bureau of Auto Repair has its
that's our that's
wonderful
our,
cars. Yeah.
Yes, that's our forte.
And put those sets it up. And
put some old lady in there.
Yeah, put some old lady.
One of the best operators we had was an elderly couple with a dachshund dog.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
So it was fantastic.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let me, by the way, while we're early in the program, let me give you a couple of phone numbers here. Actually, the 800 number for statewide for the Bureau of Auto Repair, those of you who are not in the Bay Area, let me give that to you. This is how you can get contact them and find out where your local BAR office may be. And if you have a complaint, you can find out how to file a complaint. It's 800-952-5210, 800-952-5210. The website for the Bureau of Auto Repair is www.bar.ca.gov, bar.ca.gov, in caps, by the way. The local Santa Clara County number is 408-277-1860, 408-277-1860, and for South San Francisco, because there's another office that actually my office works with from time to time, the San Mateo County DA's office does. That's the South San Francisco BAR office. That's 650-827-2074, 650-827-2074. And Bobby Reddy, from time to time, when people feel they're being gouged or want to have somebody who's going to really kind of try to find out, am I being cheated? Can I have a diagnostic? Bobby is willing, depending on... you know, he is retired now, so we don't want to have him overdo it. But I'll give you his phone number in case you feel, if you're in the Bay Area here and you feel you're being gouged and you want to get an independent opinion, 650-619-0394, 650-619-0394. What about motor oil? What are we doing, those of us consumers who, let's say, we're trying to do the right thing, we may have a newer car, We're trying to change the oil on a regular basis, but sometimes we're not getting the proper weight of oil. And if it's still under warranty and something goes wrong with the engine, my understanding, Don, from what you told me before we started the program, is that the manufacturer may not honor the warranty.
That is correct.
What's going on?
That's what it is consumers have to make themselves aware of the proper viscosity or weight, and that would be the two numbers, 520.
That's the factory recommended oil.
Yes.
It's written on the oil cap,
yes.
I believe.
520 or 530 or 1030 or whatever. Some vehicles require synthetic oil. BMWs, for instance, newer BMWs require synthetic oil. And if you're not sure, check your owner's manual. And if you're still not sure, contact the dealer. And if you're still not sure, contact a repair shop or somebody such as Bobby or the you can call the Bureau of Auto Repair because we have computer databases that can do that.
Make sure when you walk in the shop, when you go to a Fast Lube, you have to ask them what weight of oil. If it's the factory recommended oil, that's the grade. Or it's a different grade.
Yes.
Are these
so
fast lube shops?
Be aware of it.
Are these fast lube shops? Are they registered with the Bureau of Auto Repair?
Most are. Some are not required to be because they strictly change oil. If you
really?
Strictly change oil and do nothing else,
no,
you're not required
no
to
engine,
be registered.
No engine, no other auto repair.
No.
I see.
That's right. If they strictly change oil, they're not required to be registered. But the majority of oil change facilities are registered in California.
When you say that, you know, let's say someone who's bought a car in the last few years that may still be under warranty, and they go into a shop and say, I'd like to have my oil changed. And let's say the shop messes up and they don't put in the right weight of oil.
Yes.
And there's a problem with the engine goes, let's say it's damaged subsequently.
Yes.
And they go to the dealership to say, hey, I got a problem with my engine, but I do have a warranty. And the dealership says, well, what weight oil did you use here? Because we think there's something wrong.
Documentation is important.
Yeah.
And when you're doing services on your vehicle, especially if it's under factory warranty, mm-hmm. make sure you keep the records
yes.
of the oil changes and of the service, and make sure that the repair shop documents mm-hmm. the viscosity of the oil on the invoice.
Well, yes. It's not only the oil. You got to understand, most of the dealers will not warranty your engine because it's got an aftermarket oil filter. Some filters got different pressure regulators in it. So that's another problem.
That can be a problem, yes.
It could be a major problem
yes.
if you use an aftermarket filter.
So yes. what do you recommend then, Bobby? When you say an aftermarket filter, you go into one of the auto shops?
Pep Boys or some yeah. auto parts store, and not a dealership. You know, you go out and buy this part and you change your own oil and you figure, hey, I bought a new part, I got a receipt, I'm under warranty. Mm-hmm. But the part is not actually the same part.
Mm-hmm.
According to the dealer, mm-hmm. okay, they can turn the warranty down.
Wow. Have you had any problems like that at the BAR?
I've heard of that, but...
I've seen quite a bit of it.
There are consumer protection laws,
right?
Song-Beverly, that sort of mm-hmm. thing, and there are other warranty acts that if the type of filter is not necessarily dependent on warranty coverage. So there's a push-pull on that.
Mm-hmm.
I won't categorically say that you have to use a factory filter. Now, some vehicle manufacturers may state that you need a factory filter.
And you look at in the manual for that, is
yes,
that correct?
Yes.
And should that be in the manual?
It should be in the manual. Mm-hmm. And also, again, if you're in doubt or if you just acquired a car or if you acquired an expensive car, mm-hmm. let's say, for instance, you mentioned Mercedes-Benz. I don't know if Mercedes-Benz requires a factory filter or not. I know they require synthetic oil.
I don't think they, because they have a cartridge
mm-hmm.
oil filter.
Mm. Yeah.
Such as the Japanese cars, they have the canister type.
Yes.
And they have a regulator itself, the filter itself.
Yeah, so it depends upon the manufacturer, and especially a car under warranty, you want to communicate with the dealership. They may say, mm-hmm. you can go to a fast oil change facility so long as it's documented and you use the proper oil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's communication. It
right.
really is.
Mm-hmm. What about this? Let's say you've got a problem with your vehicle. And you go in to some repair facility or maybe even a dealership, and they want to sell you a package. They're really pushing. And I think from what I understand in talking to both of you before we went on the program, that apparently most of the people working in these dealerships, that is the mechanics, are they on a percentage basis, commission basis?
Yes. They're commission basis.
They are commission
yeah,
basis?
They most of them are commission. Mm-hmm. 99.9% of them are commission
really?
Basis.
I've always had a problem with that because when, for example, I've done cases where perhaps there have been misrepresentations made, whatever it may be, whether it's a sale of a vehicle, a used vehicle, whether it may be a timeshare, for example, that's real estate, timeshare at some vacation spot or something like that. Every time there has been a problem, and a lot of consumers have complained to whether it's the Better Business Bureau, my office, the Attorney General's office, it's usually related to I don't make any money unless I sell, and then I get a commission.
Right. You're a salesman.
Salesman. And that, to me, has been a real problem.
It is an incentive to misrepresent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And that's where the business ethics come in.
Yes.
And so, I mean, there are a lot of – there's many, many good repair shops who will focus on the problem. And then anything else they see, they'll make a recommendation.
Right. Mm-hmm. See, the customers will walk in. Most of these service riders are not experienced in any kind of mechanical field.
Mm.
They're picked off, they're given a brochure and say, hey, 30,000 mile, 15,000 mile service, a brake job costs this much. You know, when a customer walks in and when these service riders want to sell you something besides your complaint, you should tell them, no, I want to fix my, this is my complaint, this is what my car is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I want this fixed. Mm-hmm. Okay, they'll give you a checklist. They say, okay, I got to, you know, let me sell you this package and we'll tune your car up and see what happens. Okay. Well, the question is, what will happen if this package is not going to solve my car? Are you going to eat the expenses up?
Oh, no, sir. We're not going to do that.
So that's the
first
thing.
Why would we do that?
Well, or you want to diagnose my car and tell me what's wrong, and I'll give you authorization for a repair.
Mm-hmm. Now, not all consumers are as forthright and upfront and as confident as that. And so what happens is we get many complaints with the Bureau of Auto Repair where consumers are pushed into a service, mm-hmm. and their car still has the same problem that it exhibited 6 months earlier.
Yes, yes.
And what they can do, of course, is file a complaint with the Bureau of Auto Repair. Mm-hmm. They can call the toll-free number. They can call our office directly. We'll open a phone complaint.
Well, there was cases where they said, hey, listen, the diagnosis is going to cost you $200. The service is $250. You know, we'll do the service for $250 and we'll tell you what's going on. Mm-hmm. But here you go, you are in $250 already, and now your complaint is still not diagnosed or anything.
Well, so the question is, did they lie to the consumer at the first contact and point of sale?
It does happen a lot.
It, of course it happens. And that's why we use undercover operators on suspect facilities who we feel that are cheating the consumers by virtue of either volume of consumer complaints that we receive, we'll conduct an undercover investigation. And we'll get somebody like Chuck to pose as a customer, and they will ask specific questions. We know the condition of the car, and we will see if the rider is lying or the mechanic is lying or if it's a pattern of practice with the dealership.
Most of the time, the consumers do not know how to explain the service rider what is going with the car.
You're right.
And the best thing I would say is if you cannot explain them, take it for a ride with the service rider.
With the service rider.
You with
think
the service rider.
Okay, all right. And point out what it is.
This is what my complaint is. This is what I want fixed. So they have an idea of your complaint.
No, that is a good idea.
That's the best way to do it.
Yes.
If you cannot explain them, take them for a ride.
That's right.
And show them.
That is a good idea.
Rather than getting hosed.
Yeah, because I can tell you my mother can't describe what the problem is when she takes her car in for service.
Well, it's a complex thing. And
it
the
is.
More, and the more modern a vehicle, the more difficult I would think it is.
Well, it can be.
Mm-hmm.
However, the more modern vehicles are supremely more reliable than the cars from even 10 years ago.
More reliable than my 1987 Jeep?
Are you
telling me that?
Your Jeep is like Mount Rushmore.
I'll tell you a story. Okay, this car went to a dealership. The guy complained about when you put it in drive or reverse, the engine bangs. It's got a banging kind of action, like a failed motor mount or something.
Wow.
Okay, it clunks real hard. The service rider diagnosed him and said it was the motor mounts. The guy couldn't believe because it had only 60,000 miles.
A motor mount is really like a big
rubber bracket that mounts to the frame where the engine
so it holds
will rock.
Holds the engine in place. Okay.
Right. But he diagnosed it on the aisle and said your motor mount was bad. So he said, how much is it going to cost me? $1,100. Guy goes, no, come on, it wouldn't cost that much. He goes, I'm telling you, motor mount is bad. The guy went to another shop. The guy, they diagnosed it. It was the same story.
Ah.
So he still didn't believe it. So one of the guys at the dealership, when he went to buy the motor mounts, he said, listen, we don't sell this thing too much. You know, for this particular car, we don't sell these motor mounts too many.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to call this guy. So the guy called me up.
He
called me up, and I diagnosed it. I said, bring it over. I'll just sit in the car, and I'll check it out for you. Tell me what you're looking for. Okay, you got to explain to me what's going on. So he told me what was going on, and I put it in gear. The problem was the transmission. Mm-hmm. And it was caused by the computer because of high pressure. And when you put it in drive, it was banging. So the key thing of for any consumer to go out and make sure you get a technician who knows how everything operates.
You know, one of the things I...
And it was slamming in gear. That's what was happening.
And what did it end up costing him to have that fixed? You know?
Well, that was under warranty. I sent him to another dealership where I know some people. I knew the manager over there. I called him up. His name is Ali Amante. I called him up. He said, send him down, and it was covered for 150,000 miles.
Mm-hmm. So he got it for free.
He got it for free. That's where wonderful. He would have paid $1,100 and could have lost.
Because the previous one with the motor mount problem would not have been covered by warranty.
No.
Okay, very good. One of the things I want to let all of you know, and both of you know, is that this program, you know, we send out a recorded CD, the first half hour of the program, to a number of stations in California, including the chain of radio stations entitled Radio Bilingue. Many of the listeners of Radio Bilingue are Hispanic. They speak Spanish. The good percentage of the listeners obviously understand and speak English. That's why these stations carry your legal rights. But one of the things that I think we need to talk about a bit is if there is a second language that someone is speaking, let's say Spanish, you go into a shop that obviously is not run and managed by Spanish-speaking employees, you may have a communication problem. Don, what do you say about that? What should the consumer who may have a second language here, whether it's Spanish or Japanese or whatever it may be, what should that person do?
Well, unfortunately, that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. And where a person who perhaps English is a second language or a repair shop has English as a second language.
Okay, all right.
And they're trying to explain, such as Bobby said, a problem, and they can't communicate. And if there's a perceived misunderstanding and Chuck, if somebody may not be understanding you, you may get tipped off on that, or you may ask some questions to clarify. Many consumers don't.
Yes.
And what happens is there's a language barrier. Somebody doesn't understand what they wanted, or the service that was expected wasn't performed. And they can file a complaint, and we can try to fix that on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to find or doing research ahead of time, finding a mechanic that speaks your language and that you go to first to try to have a simple service done, such as perhaps an inspection or an oil change or something like that, check the facility, make sure, of course, even though it's English as a second language or whatever the case may be, they're still required to provide an estimate. They're still required to provide an invoice. It should be in their language.
Mm-hmm. Okay, should be if it's in Spanish.
I think so.
Be in Spanish.
Absolutely.
A lot of questions would be the help.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Under the civil code, if a transaction is in a language other than English, the civil code certainly, with respect to at least the Spanish language, and it may include other languages now, requires that if there is a written document, that document must be in that language of the consumer,
yes.
The language that was used with the consumer, as well as the English language. And
yes.
That's probably a problem.
It is a problem. And to try to avoid that is, again, to seek out, use your neighbors, friends, your community-based organizations, and try to locate a mechanic that speaks your language before you need a mechanic.
Yeah. Oh, anybody who can go over there and explain the service rider.
Yes.
It's good for you to take your own friend or something.
Yes.
Rather than having a person who works for the company.
Yeah. Okay.
So that can be a big problem right there if you use a guy who's working for the company.
Well, there may be an incentive to sell.
Right.
Maybe an incentive to sell.
But again, that's where the business ethics come in.
Yeah.
There's honest repair shops and there's dishonest repair shops. And irregardless of the language, the dishonest repair shop is going to pick your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And because of commission basis and sales, the more I sell, the more money I get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the theory. The Bureau has translation services.
I didn't
in
know
almost
that.
All languages.
Really?
Yeah, through
through
Department of Consumer Affairs.
Wonderful.
And so generally, we can effectively communicate with the consumer.
Now, under what, briefly, because we're nearly at the end of the statewide version, how does this come up?
It would come up at the local field office. For instance,
yeah.
If somebody filed a complaint in our jurisdiction and we noticed that the consumer spoke French,
okay,
we have the ability to locate a telephone translator.
Yes.
Yes. Through Consumer Affairs. It's no charge to the consumer.
Yes, yes.
And we will set up a three-way conversation.
That's wonderful.
Yes. That's not a problem. It takes a little more time.
Well, sure.
But the service is available.
Let me do this before we end the first half hour of the program. Let me give you again the statewide number for the Bureau of Auto Repair, and that's 800-952-5210, 800-952-5210. And the website is bar.ca.gov. So it's bar.ca.gov. If you'd like to, wherever you may be in the state of California, and you have a complaint or you want to find out something through the Bureau of Auto Repair, does the website have some information that might educate people also?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the website has too much information.
Too much information.
In my opinion.
So you need an interpreter.
I'm just joking. It's a little cumbersome, but it's all there.
And my other guest here, Bobby Reddy, in case you want to see if he might help you, if you're being, at least in the Bay Area, if you're being kind of jockeyed around by somebody and you need someone to kind of do a little bit of listening and maybe sitting in your vehicle, etc. His number is 650-619-0394. 650-619-0394. Although he is retired, but he still is there to help people from time to time when he's not driving in his Rolls Royce. And that's not true. He does not have a Rolls Royce. Okay. We have come to the end of the first half hour. I want to give you an opportunity to call in. By the way, it's about 7:28 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. We are doing a program on auto repair issues, and we've been focusing on the California Bureau of Auto Repair and how it can help consumers really exercise their legal rights if they are being ripped off, or maybe whether it's intentional ripping off or maybe it's incompetence. My guests are Donald Johnson, the supervisor of the San Jose Field Office of the California Bureau of Auto Repair, and I'm going to continue to refer to that as BAR. My other guest is Bobby Reddy. He's an auto mechanic of 33 years, exclusively with various Toyota dealerships in San Francisco and Daly City. He is now retired, but still actually gets involved with helping people from time to time. Bobby has worked with my office from time to time with respect to investigations that have gone on. My office is at San Mateo County DA's office. So if you would like to call in, it's 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. I want to tell you, by the way, we are not going to do a program next week because I decided I wanted to take off the day after Christmas. So we will be back on January 2nd, and at that point we're going to talk about the Homeowner's Bill of Rights, and this is the one where people who are faced with foreclosures may be negotiating with the lender for a loan modification. A lot of this has happened where while they're negotiating for a loan modification, the lender continues to go ahead with the foreclosure process, files a notice of default, ending up with a notice of sale. And that's created a problem. So as of January 1st of 2013, there is new law that was signed by Governor Brown a few months ago that will take effect, that will help people. And that's what we're going to do on January 2nd. So, all right, if you'd like to call in, ask a question. And so, by the way, to finally finish this, the next Call a Lawyer night is going to be on January 23rd. So that's when we will do Call a Lawyer night, and you'll have a chance to talk to attorneys off the air in confidence, no obligations on your part whatsoever. It's a great consumer service that members of both the San Francisco Bar, the San Mateo County Bar, Some of the attorneys are certified specialists in two or three or four areas of the certified specialties. And so you might want to join us then for Call a Lawyer. All right, let's start with Alex. Alex, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you so much for all of your effort putting through, Chuck.
You're welcome.
And thank you, guests also. I appreciate that.
Well, they're very good. Very good, man. I've worked with Don in the past on some cases when I was doing Bureau of Auto Repair cases, which I'm not doing right now. Someone else in my unit, the Consumer Protection Unit at the San Mateo County DA's office, does work with them. I have had Bobby on the program before. One of his very close friends who he has worked with is a former assistant DA in my office who retired, Marty Murray. And so, I don't know, do you think Marty's listening tonight?
I think he is.
Did you tell him you're going to be on?
We spoke about this morning.
Well, good. I hope he is. If you are, Marty, hello there. Haven't seen you in about a year or so. But Alex, what's your question?
Well, one of your guests mentioned earlier about a warranty that a component should be under warranty. He happened to know about it being under warranty for 150,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that some smog components are a lot longer than, say, your basic engine components many times. How would I know, how would I find out if a certain component, other than a standard service bulletin, how would I be able to find that out on my own? If that's a common problem, example, like with a, say example with a Dodge, just throwing that out there, and it's having that certain problem, so I Google it, and it says, oh, yeah, this is very common with this problem here, and it's common in the 78s or the 88s or the 98s or whatever. Where would I find information like that?
Warranty information, if an owner's manual is available, all warranty information is contained in the owner's manual. You can also use the Internet to research the warranty coverage on a specific vehicle. That information, I mean, there's so much information on the Internet. I'm sure you can find it. In California, certain what they call high-tech or electronic components are warranted for 7 years, and I believe it's 100,000 miles. It might be 70,000 miles. I'd have to check.
Yeah, there are some extended warranty that you can call the dealer and give them your VIN number, and they'll run it through their computer system and tell you if that particular part or any updates were made and they're covered under warranty. They'll explain you everything.
You talked about, wait a minute, Alex, if you don't mind. Let me get Bobby to clarify this. You said extended warranty. What are you referring to? Is that when you pay extra when you buy the car?
Not extended warranty when you pay. Mm-hmm. They will extend that warranty for that particular
part. If there's been a problem?
If it was an emission, emission part that was failing, and it's very common, so the factory will say, hey, listen, I'll extend the mileage to 150,000 or 100,000 or whatever they agree on.
Well, there might, especially with newer vehicles, there might be a systematic failure of a certain component.
Mm-hmm.
And the dealerships know what that component is and the manufacturer knows, and they'll send out something called a technical service bulletin or a TSB.
Who will they send that to?
That'll go to the dealerships.
Yeah. Only the dealership.
Yeah.
Not to someone who bought a car.
Well, if an independent repair shop subscribes to some of the internet-based repair information services, mm-hmm. like manuals or online information services, those technical service bulletins are released on those websites mm-hmm. also. They're mandated to be released.
I would recommend any kind of work if you are recommended and you're having problem with your vehicle. Don't hesitate to call the dealer with a VIN number. It could be under warranty.
Very good.
Have you tried that, Alex?
No, I haven't.
What year is your vehicle?
Mine's a 2005.
Well, that's new compared to the kind of vehicles I drive.
Me too, Chuck.
That's brand new.
But it's just under 100,000 miles. But the one for 150,000 miles, when he happened to know that part was still under warranty.
This was a Toyota that was covered for 150,000 miles. The factory
originally.
Originally, it was 60,000 miles, but the problem was so happening in all these particular model cars, the factory extended that warranty by themselves to 150,000.
Alex, good luck to you.
That answers it for me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Alex, sir. Take care. Thank you for calling. All right, this is Your Legal Rights, 1-415-841-4134. My guests are Bobby Reddy, who's a master mechanic for 33 years at Toyota dealerships in both San Francisco and Daly City. He's retired now, but occasionally does respond to the call for help, help by consumers. My other guest is Donald Johnson, the supervisor of the San Jose field office of the California Bureau of Auto Repair, which I refer to as BAR. And I think I mentioned earlier in the program, if you were listening, that Don and I have worked on some cases together in the past, although he left my area and went down south.
Yes.
He was actually in the covering the San Mateo, I guess it was San Mateo, San Francisco area.
County.
That's
yeah.
how we got to work together.
Yes.
And then Don decided, hey, I'm going to go down to Santa Clara County.
Less of a commute.
Yeah, because you live in Watsonville,
That's
where
right.
I used to be a partner in the law firm.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, 1-415-841-4134. Before we take our next call, if you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KOW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call that as any one of the lawyer referral services during normal business hours. And for San Mateo County Lawyer Referral Service, it's 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. You can call your own, as I said, during normal business hours. You should be able to get a human being on the phone. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced for you. Set up a half-an-hour consultation. Depending on the county, for half an hour, it may be a low of $25, maybe a high of $35. It's a great consumer service to get your basic information. All right. Nancy, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
This is a legal question about warranties, but not specifically about auto repair. I bought a car last year, and the company went out of business.
Mm.
And
was it a brand new car or a used?
Yeah, it was a brand new car.
Oh my, really?
Which company was this?
That would be Saab.
Oh yes, yes.
And I bought the car about 6 months before the company went out of business.
Oh my, wow.
And so my question is, isn't the cost of a warranty built into the price of the car somehow?
What do you mean? What do you think should happen
there? I guess I'm wondering legally how I can purchase a car and purchase, you know, and get the warranty with a car, but yet what happened was, I have zero warranty. In fact, all the Saab dealerships are out of business. So
if you have a problem, you have no way, you understand you have no way of having it repaired under your warranty because Saab went under. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Don, do you know if that's the case?
I believe that's the case. I don't recall a history of...
That's a shame.
GM had Saab for a time, and then they sold to somebody, and somebody else picked them up, and something fell through.
Right, Spiker. But what happened was GM picked up the warranties for cars like the year before mine and back.
Ah.
But not the year that I bought it.
What year did you buy yours?
It's a 2010 I bought it.
2010.
You know... You know what we could do? I have in my office, I have representatives that have worked for manufacturers for years. And if you will call my office at 408-277-1860 and tell the person answering the phone that I referred you to them, and let's get your contact information and let's try to do some research on that.
Yeah. Did you get the number, Nancy?
Yes, but I fear that I didn't get the gentleman's name, though.
Oh, this is Don.
This is Don Johnson.
Great. Don, really?
Not the guy who was on TV.
Not that Don.
No. Okay.
Plus,
he's just as good looking, though.
I pay my bills, too.
Yeah. That's right. He had a problem, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He right here in San Francisco.
Yeah, he had a problem.
Oh, yeah. No, I appreciate it, because I think there is sort of a legal aspect.
Well, I do, too. I do too. And
you know, so I would love to be able to speak.
Well, give them a call. You did get the phone number?
I did, 408-277-1860.
And tell them that I sent you and you were from the radio call in, and we'll see if we can figure something out.
Yeah.
I sure do appreciate that.
Good luck, Nancy. Thank you very much for calling. All right, 1-415-841-4134. My guests are Donald Johnson, supervisor of the San Jose Field Office of BAR, California Bureau of Auto Repair. My other guest is Bobby Reddy, a master mechanic of 33 years, having spent his career at Toyota dealerships, both in San Francisco and Daly City. Were you on commission at the time, sir?
No, I was strictly on union scale. And,
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm pretty strict about being on commission.
Yeah, I'm very much against whatever the business is, if someone is on commission, because I'm afraid they'll say things that,
well,
whatever they think they need to say to get you to buy.
I'm pretty well trained. I'm a union trained technician with a lot of pride today.
This is good.
Because
is good.
We were taught right.
I'm glad to hear that. All right, Jim, welcome to your legal rights.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I had a couple questions. One's not so much legal. My Audi, for example, says you have to use 91 gas.
91 octane. All right.
Does it actually make much difference for the running of the vehicle, the maintenance or any of that?
Okay.
Number two, insurance. Is it more or less a scam since most of us do not really crash that often and deductibles are so high?
Wait a minute. What's a scam?
Well, more or less. I mean...
No. Wait a minute.
Insurance.
When you say a scam, what are you talking about, insurance scam? What do you mean by that?
Getting full coverage. As I understand
without a deductible?
Yeah, and even just getting your car covered, if it's not a new car, for example, or maybe even if it is, but oftentimes... most drivers don't get in that many accidents where they're at fault.
You mean you would consider, Jim, let me make sure I understand this, you would possibly consider driving a car that had no insurance covering you if it was your fault in an accident?
No, I don't. I'd always have the basic California minimum.
Well, that's $30,000 per person.
Right, but if I was at fault, my car would not be covered at all.
Oh, I see. You're talking about
liability.
Okay. You're talking about
bump and collision, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
And it's so expensive.
Yeah.
And for many of us, I mean, the most that happens is a dented door or whatever. In most cases.
Yeah.
And over years and years you're paying so much money, so if you know any statistics on whether it's worth doing or not. And finally, there is a mobile tech that, just to be aware of in our area, is very sketchy. I read some Yelp, and I've experienced, and he goes, it's Tech Express.
Don't mention the name of the business, but what area do you live in?
Oakland, but he goes all over the place.
He does? And do you know, when you say tech, this is someone who supposedly, if you have a problem, you can call him and he'll come to your home or wherever you are and work on your vehicle? Is that the idea?
That's the idea.
Is he licensed through the Bureau of Auto Repair? Do you know?
I'm not totally sure.
I certainly wouldn't want to use anybody like that if he's not.
Well, he represents that he is.
Well, yeah, but you want to see the sign. There's a sign.
You ask for a license, too.
Ask for a license. He should be licensed by the Bureau of Auto Repair. Is he supposed to be licensed as a dealer?
He's licensed as an individual.
Yeah. See, if you ever call him again, Jim, or anybody close to you, you want to make sure that you see his license.
Well, with a 91 octane, I tell you one thing. If you use anything else, you'll have pinging in your engines, and sometimes you can have a problem with your valves.
So 91 octane is something, even though it's a little bit more expensive,
it's
worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it putting 91.
I know I use 91 all the time. I've got, by the way, and I'm not bragging, but I do feel good about this. I've got an 87 Jeep Cherokee that I bought brand new, 315,000 plus miles on it. I only use the top octane. I use synthetic oil. It does not burn oil, believe it or not. But I use the heavy duty.
You can try a tank of cheap gas, but then you'll see the difference, and then you make a decision.
Yeah. I wouldn't be cheap on that, Jim. Anything else, Don?
Well, the manufacturers recommend the octane rating because of the design of the combustion chamber.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And so it has to do with how fast the flame propagates through the combustion chamber. So there's reasons for that. In regards to the mechanic, I am an advocate for licensed mechanics. When somebody uses a mobile mechanic and has a problem, the problem is also that it's a mobile mechanic, and we'll never find them unless we try to set up a sting to catch them. I'm going to safely say the majority of mobile mechanics and the vast majority of mechanics on Craigslist are unregistered. Mm-hmm. They're unlicensed. Mm-hmm. And when you don't use a licensed mechanic, you don't have rights, because if a shop is registered, they're held to the rights of, they're held to the law in California regarding auto repair, and the consumers have rights. Yeah. And those rights include us finding the mechanic and trying to resolve a problem if you should have one.
Mm-hmm. It's good to know a person for a long time and do business with them and to trust each other than to just jump from shop to shop.
Yeah. Right.
I guess my approach, Jim, has been, and I don't pretend to be a mechanic or whatever, although I am a consumer advocate, being a deputy DA in the Consumer Protection Unit, the San Mateo DA's office. But my approach to this is I don't think it pays to really start worrying about getting the cheapest stuff, because I think in the long run, it presents problems. That's why I have continued with my Cherokee. And I also have an old Cadillac, which is a beauty, a 1983 Cadillac Biritz. And I only use the 91, the top octane, and they're both working beautifully. So, Jim, I hope that helps you.
That does help me. In terms of timing belts and serpentine belts and all those things to do every, 80,000 or 100,000?
Well, you keep track of, I think the factory recommends 100,000 miles. On Audis and Volkswagens?
Right. So what if you're poor and you can't afford to do it?
Ooh. Well, then you're taking a chance. Then you're going to get hosed. You'll get jammed with a lot of bills.
Yeah.
I don't want to see your vehicle out there, Jim.
I don't either.
Stalled on the freeway or even on the...
Hey, it's cheaper to spend a few bucks than to get robbed.
Yeah.
Highway robbery.
Jim, we're going to move on. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself. And your car, by the way. Give your car a treat. Use that 91 octane.
That's right.
This is a recorded commercial.
And do the timing belt.
Do that timing belt. All right, Bernie. Bernie, welcome to your legal rights.
Hi, how you doing? I was just wondering, you guys are talking about licensed mechanic. Now, I'm retired, but I do like side jobs and everything, and I'm ASE certified. Is that what you would call a license?
I'd call you unlicensed.
Unlicensed, but you know what? As long as you know the people, you know your families, your friends is good enough, I believe.
Well, I disagree.
Wait a minute. Don disagrees, Bernie, with that. Don disagrees.
So ASC doesn't mean nothing when you have your ASC certificate?
What ASC is a test for competency, and you know that. If you have the tests and credentials and you've passed the test, then it measures your competency.
So a license is really if you have a shop, then that's when you get a license.
No, if you're doing repair for compensation, you should have a
BAR
license. That's correct.
That's a Bureau of Automotive Repair license.
What's it called?
The Bureau of Auto Repair license. Why don't you give me a call and I'll set you up?
Okay. Yeah. Do you have your number? Or
sure.
Here. You ready? Ready to roll,
I got
Bernie?
It,
okay. Uh-huh. For this is for the San Jose field office.
That's okay.
408.
Uh huh.
277.
277.
1860.
1860.
Yeah.
Okay, one more thing, please, if you have time. When you're talking about the warranty stuff, the warranty, the bulletins should go to the owners of the car that bought the car new, too, so they are aware if there's anything wrong. Because that's when you were talking about earlier, that's when somebody could take advantage of them. That they know the bulletin.
Anything with a TSB goes to the factory, and any recall goes to the owners of the vehicles to take it to
that's
the closest
dealership.
That's when
it's a recall,
dealership.
Though, yeah. Not a bulletin.
Recall,
a bulletin,
recall.
That's when the shops can take advantage.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, I was working in a shop for, my father owned one for 40 years, so I was there, you know, for about, you know, 25
years.
Yeah,
but it's good to call time to time, call the dealership, give them your VIN number and see if something new came up.
That's what you have to do.
If you want to save some money, you want to call time to time, you know, to find out if there was any update in your particular cars.
Well, the other thing is that on the internet there are again information bases such as I'm trying to think of some of the online manual manufacturers will have technical service bulletins listed in their database. And
that the public can get to, or just we have to use hardware to get to that.
You're right about the hardware, but
or software. I mean.
Yeah, if you were to, I mean, there's so much information on the internet, and if you were to Google a certain symptom or a problem or a failure in Google on your particular car and year, chances are you're going to get some information that'll get you pointed in the right direction. Because I mean, working in the bureau. Something will come across my desk, and I have no clue what the failure or what the issue might be. And I'll Google it, and it'll set me off in the right direction, and you just start following that rabbit trail to try to get your answer.
Okay,
Bernie, we're going to move on.
One more, very brief,
please. Very, very brief.
Okay, yeah, it's about the thing about having the bilingual in the shop so they can get business.
Yes.
A lot of shops are losing out because there's a lot of people that just speak that, and they just go to that kind of shop. But when they find out that you have a bilingual somebody talking there, it really helps for that shop not to lose, you know, business to another shop.
Absolutely.
I agree with you.
Okay.
Bernie, thanks very much for calling.
It would be great if just to come in over here, everybody had to learn the language.
I've heard that before.
One of the things. Yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, if I went to another country, I wouldn't want to go there unless I knew how to speak the language.
So, that's a practical, can be a very practical necessity. Bernie, thanks very much. We're going to move on now.
Thanks.
Yeah. By the way, let me just mention, remind you that we are not doing a program next week, December 26th. I decided that we would kind of all get a rest here on Your Legal Rights. And so there will be a special program that the station will run during this time next Wednesday, December 26th. We will be back on January 2nd, and we will talk about the new law, which becomes effective January 1st, 2013, called the California Homeowners Bill of Rights, which will help people who have been, let's say, victimized while they've been trying to get a loan modification. And at the time they're applying for a loan modification, the lender is proceeding anyway with a foreclosure process and then a notice of sale. So they've really been ripped off. So that's what this law is all about, signed by the governor a few months ago, effective January 1st. So, and my guest will be Mark Seidenfeld, who you may recall is a regular guest on this program. He's a real estate attorney and a guru when we come to landlord-tenant law. All right, here's a question that was written in, and this is an interesting one, I think. We are driving a 2007 Civic Hybrid. They purchased from a private party. It has never lived up to its advertised specs. What's our recourse in this case of the manufacturer not living up to its claims? And then the end of this is applying to mileage. I've heard about this before. Question mark.
I've heard the same thing before. I don't know, being that they've purchased the vehicle used, I don't know if there's any warranty that would pass.
Accident related.
Yeah, that would pass on to them other than perhaps powertrain and that sort of thing.
But with respect to applying the mileage, I mean, the representation brand new is supposed to get, what I forget how many miles to the gallon.
There was an individual, I don't remember if it was a California knot, that sued a manufacturer because of that.
Yes.
And she prevailed.
She did.
Yes.
And I don't recall what
the
case was.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't have an answer for that one other than
might want to Google that one to see a lawsuit against Honda for failure to live up to the representation of mileage.
That
per
could
gallon.
Be. Now, another thing is that maybe what you want to do before you do anything like that is make sure that the tire pressures are proper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Driving habits have a lot to do with it. I remember the first time I drove a what's called a CVT, or a constant velocity transmission car. Mm. It was a rental. I got horrible mileage.
Really?
Because my foot was on it, it was off it.
You got a heavy foot, huh?
And so I learned how to drive the car after a while.
Yeah.
And mileage has improved. As a matter of fact, and you know this, Chuck, I mean, I could squeeze 38 miles per gallon out of a car when my spouse is going to squeeze 25 miles per gallon out of it.
I hope she's not listening.
I hope not either.
You better go in with a nice smile on your face.
That's right.
Tonight,
a little hard on
Mr.
the
Johnson.
A little hard on the gas.
All right. Let's see. We have, I think we have time for one further, very brief one. I guess it's Tom. Tom, brief question do you have?
Yes, it's a very brief one. I don't have a legal problem, but I have a beef with the Bureau of Automated Repair.
That's a good one.
Uh-oh.
And,
what's the beef? Briefly, what's the beef?
The turnaround of getting information from them is so long that I want your phone number so that I can call you.
Where have you filed a complaint? Which office, Tom?
The main office in...
On Sacramento?
Rancho Cordova in California.
Rancho Cordova.
That's down south, isn't it?
No, Rancho Cordova is a suburb of Sacramento.
Oh, is it?
Give me a call. Yeah. My number is 408-277-1860, and we can set you in the right direction.
Yeah, call and ask to speak to Don Johnson, Tom.
Great.
Yeah, Don's a very conscientious guy, very experienced. So did you get the number?
Yeah, 408-277-1860.
Yeah,
yes.
And
tell him you heard through the radio.
Yeah, okay.
Great.
Take care. Thank you very much for calling. I think we have nearly come to the end of the program. What I want to do is remind you the Bureau of Auto Repair's numbers, San Jose 408-277-1860. South San Francisco for BAR is 650-827-2074. The statewide number, 800-952-5210. The website, www.ncapsnow.ca.gov. And for Bobby Reddy, and Bobby is B-O-B-B-Y and then last name R-E-D-D-Y, auto mechanic for 33 years with Toyota dealerships both in San Francisco and Daly City. Bobby is retired now, but is there at time to time when people feel, hey, I'm being ripped off, would you mind taking a look at this or listen to this, et cetera, et cetera. His number is 650-619-0394. 650-619-0394. I want to thank you both very much.
Thank you, Chuck.
For joining us on the program.
Thank you for the invitation.
Wonderful to have you here. I want to wish everybody a happy holiday season. You've been listening to Don Johnson of the Bureau of Auto Repair and a master mechanic, Bobby Reddy, 33 years experience. And I wish all of you a happy holiday season and a happy new year. Funding for your legal rights has been made possible by the Bureau, actually by not the Bureau of Auto Repair. No, it is not one of the funders of this program. By the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Additional funding has been provided by the Trusts and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne, nice to have you back here, Joanne Marr, and production assistant Martin McLean. I wish you all a very happy holiday season. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Chuck Finney.